Grab a Bible this morning, turn to Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read one verse this morning, Galatians 6:14. Paul said, "But God forbid that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Let's ask God to help us this morning. Father, we thank you this morning for a crucified Savior. Amen. We thank you for the power of the cross, Lord, the power of the gospel that is able to save sinners. We do ask this morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, that we will leave your house loving our Savior more and be willing to serve him all the days of our lives. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul says, "God forbid that I should boast, except at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." As you well know, we live in an age of boasting. When I say we live in an age of boasting, I'm talking about religious and secular boasting. We live in a time of great accomplishments. We live in a time of great prosperity and success. And what it does is it causes sinful men to boast and to flaunt in their lives. People love in this day and time to be on display. They love to be heard. They desire glory. They desire applause and worship to be given unto them. Well, this same apostle that wrote the words of Galatians 6:14 by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he also wrote 2 Timothy 3:1. And one of the things Paul says is, he says, "Know this in the last days." He said, "Perilous times will come." And he points out two things, basically. He says, "For men will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money." And then he said, "Men will also be boasters and proud." In other words, they will become empty pretenders, full of braggart talk. And then he said, this also includes people who profess the faith, because he says that they will have a form of godliness, but denying his power. And Paul says, from such people, turn away. So if you listen and look at TV and the airwaves, they're all full of boasting and glorying in carnal, temporary things that are stupid, that absolutely carry no eternal significance whatsoever. Now, I looked up what the word boast means. It's interesting what it means. It's boast means to praise oneself or to brag. It means to boast about one's own abilities, achievements, possessions, knowledge, and success. It can mean to be proud of or to glory in something or somebody. It also means this. It means to talk too much about something one has done or what one has or what one can do. Paul, King James Version, he says, instead of use the word boasting, he says glory. And so that is to give great praise and honor to something or someone, something that brings a source of joy and a source of pride to your heart. It's something you boast in things, and the things that you boast in, you talk about them all the time. Well, the Apostle Paul had one boast, and he gloried in one thing. And this is one thing Paul talked about all the time. If you read the letters of Paul, you will see that he constantly talked about the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul had many religious things he could have gloried in. I mean, would you not like to have the resume of the Apostle Paul? I mean, you're talking about a religious accomplishment. I mean, he has a great resume, and I want you to listen to him after his conversion experience. Philippians 3:3, Paul says, "We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." And then he says, verse 4, "Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so." In other words, Paul is saying, I have plenty I could be boasting about, I could be proud of, that I could point out in my life, especially as a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He says, "Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee." In other words, he was a very learned scholar. And then he said, concerning zeal, he said, "Persecuting the church, and concerning the righteousness which was in the law," he said, "I am blameless." But he says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted as loss for Christ." And he says, "For the priceless privilege," in other words, "of knowing my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, yea, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. So if there was ever anybody that could boast specifically about religious accomplishments, it would have been the Apostle Paul. And he boasted about none of it. In fact, he says it was all dung. Now, why is Paul in this passage boasting and defending the cross of Christ? Well, you know, if you read the Apostle Paul, he's always dealing with the Judaizers. And he's dealing here with the Judaizers who want to persuade these believers to be circumcised. And they want to persuade them to be circumcised so they can boast of the fact that they're proselytes. And they want to, so that they can brag about how many people are following them. And what Paul says they're doing is, he said they want to make a good showing in the flesh, and they want to put on a good face before the persecuting Jews. Because he said to turn us, what they want to do is they want to turn aside this hostility that comes from the Jews to avoid persecution for the cross of Christ. If you were a Jew in the time of the Apostle Paul and was converted, you would be persecuted for following Christ. We live in a time where we know little of persecution. But I promise you, the day will come in this country and throughout the world, you will be persecuted for following the Son of God. And you know, we have been persecuted for that just yet, but it will come. And Paul is saying, whereas the Judaizers are ashamed of the cross, he says they underrate it, they don't understand it. He said they're doing everything that they can do to avoid persecution for the sake of the cross. But he's the exact opposite. Whether he has to live or die, he's going to boast in the cross of Jesus Christ, because this is the ground of his confidence. The cross was the Apostle Paul's pride and joy. Now, what does the cross mean? You know, you hear the word cross, it's used several times in the Word of God, and it means different things at times that is spoken of in the Word of God. And I'll ask you this morning, if you're boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ, do you know what you're talking about? Do you know what the cross means? Well, let me give you three things this morning. The cross sometimes means that wooden cross on which they nailed the Lord Jesus at his death at Calvary. Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, the death of the cross. In other words, he's speaking of the crucifixion on that piece of wood. Now, this is not the cross that Paul is speaking of glorying in and boasting in. You say, what are you saying this morning? He's not boasting in a piece of wood. You know, it's not sacred. You know, that piece of wood, or that tree, some people call it tree, that tree that he died on, did nothing to procure our salvation. You know, he's not boasting on any wood, and without a doubt, he would have denounced all this Roman Catholic adoration of the crucifix, how they adore the crucifix, and he would call that blasphemy, he would call that idolatrous, he would call that profane. I notice all you sports players now, they wear a cross, and I understand. They try to be religious, but they don't know what it means. They think they know one thing it means. It's a piece of wood that's like, you know, a cross, you know, and they think that it's something sacred and, you know, some mystical power is going to be on there. And if I play the game today, the Lord will be with me and things like that. This cross he's talking about that he's not talking about is Hebrews 12:2, for who he said, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He said, despising the shame. And he said, suffering the shame and just having death to crucifixion. So basically, he's not talking about that piece of wood. Second thing, there's another cross that the Word of God talks about that sometimes means afflictions and trials and tribulations that believers go through for faithfully following the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you're going to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have a cross. And he commands all his disciples, are you a disciple of Jesus this morning, to take up your cross and follow him. Luke 14:27, he says, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. And what Jesus is telling us to do is cheerfully, without hesitation, manfully bear persecutions and troubles and distresses and trials and tribulations and faithfully follow him. Because if you follow him, trouble will come. And I tell you, brethren, as a church, and I, if we follow him as a church, as a group of people, somebody is not going to like us because we're following the Lamb of God. And he is a stumbling block to the Jews. He is foolishness to the Greeks. It's foolish for you to tell me that a Jewish carpenter could be crucified and be the salvation of the world. That's absolutely ridiculous. And the Jews thought it was ridiculous because he wasn't who they thought he should have been when he came. But you got to remember Christ when he walked through all the trials and tribulations which he went through, as you carry your own cross, and you need to endure like he did. Now, Paul bore his cross well. And one thing I say about the Apostle Paul, he carried it patiently till they finally killed him. Because what his cross did was cause him to walk to his death. So this also is not the cross that he's speaking of. But the third thing, so was what is Paul speaking of, or what is he boasting? What he's boasting in right here, and you'll see this in places in Scripture, he's speaking of the finished work of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus goes beyond a piece of wood that was carried by Simon of Cyrene to Golgotha. It speaks of the atonement that he made for sinners by suffering for them on that piece of wood. This cross Paul is talking about and he glories in is the complete and perfect sacrifice offered up by Jesus Christ for sin when he gave up his own body to be crucified on that tree. So this cross stands for Christ crucified, the only Savior of the sinners of the world. Amen. Now I want to ask you a question this morning. When you hear the word, the cross of Jesus, I want to ask you to just be honest this morning. What do you actually think about? Is the first thought in your mind that piece of wood that he died on, that tree? I'm not knocking a piece of wood. I'm just asking you, what do you think about when you think about the cross of Jesus Christ? Or do you think of what actually stands for? Because the hymn writer said it was an emblem of suffering and shame. So what does that mean? That means it's a shame and suffering because he's bearing the sins of the world. He's bearing all the times that we are ugly and nasty and sinning against God. Think of some of the sins that have, the atrocities that have been committed all throughout the ages of time and century, and Christ is bearing the sins of the world, specifically the elect. When you see the cross and you think about the cross, do you think about the substitutionary atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you think about the finished work of Jesus Christ? Do you see a wrath-bearing sacrifice for the sins of the whole world when you think about the cross? Or do you think of Isaiah's prophecy of what was taking place when Jesus went to that cross? Let me ask you this morning. When you see the cross, do you think about the love of God? Because that's what the cross is all about. If you had to culminate everything, what the cross is all about, it's about the love of God in Christ Jesus for helpless sinners that need to be saved. That's what it's all about. And so what I'm saying is we need to get past the piece of wood. Y'all with me? And get to the one that was on that piece of wood. Well, the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was the only way to appease the wrath of God for sin. And that's what you should see when you look at that cross. Now, I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, because this man loved Jesus Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians 1:18. He said, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." I know what Paul's saying, and I'm finding this out in my Christian life. If anybody ever is going to be saved, you're going to have to preach the gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because do's and don'ts get nobody saved. You know, because you say, why would it not get anybody saved? The first thing they'll do is stop doing things. And then start doing things and think they're saved. Now, the power of God changes a man's heart. God works in him and he changes his heart and his mind and his spirit, and he follows Christ all the days of his life. 1 Corinthians 1:23-24, he said, "We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God." Now, there's a lot you could say right there, but I'm not going to get into all that. About the wisdom of God and the salvation of man. Our brother Derek was touching on some of that stuff this morning, and you can listen to what he preached this morning and get some of that out of there. But the message of the cross is just simply a synonym for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what Paul is doing, he's boasting in the wisdom of the finished work of the Son of God, by God the Father. Now, there's a hymn that I love that's in our hymn book. Derek read some hymns this morning. We're going to read another one. Hymn number 435, What You Ask Me. It's a great hymn of mine because it says, What you ask me is my prize. What the secret to be wise? He said, What the wealth I value most? What the name wherein I boast? Who the ground of my belief? Who from guilt doth give relief? Who my ransom once has been? Who forgiveth all my sin? Who doth comfort me in woe? Who protect me from my foe? Who revives my fainting soul? Who doth heal and make me whole? Who by death has conquered death? I love that one too. Who receives my parting breath? Who can grant me endless rest? Who enrolls me mid the blessed? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus Christ, the crucified. Jesus Christ crucified was the apostles' delight and joy. And his comfort, it was his peace, it was his hope, it's his foundation, it was his resting place, it was his ark and the refuge of his soul. It was his food and medicine of his soul. And so Galatians 6:14 proves this to us. The Apostle Paul did not glory in what he had done or what he had suffered. He did not meditate on his own goodness and his own righteousness. He boasted in the cross of Jesus Christ. And like I said before, not in that piece of wood, but in the one who was on that piece of wood, the one whose blood stained that piece of wood. He loved to think, he loved to talk and meditate on what Christ has done, on what Christ has suffered, his death, his righteousness, his atonement, his redeeming blood, the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when he gloried in that, that was the sun, S-U-N, of his soul. He loved to preach about it. You read through the epistles and things like that. He went to and fro on the earth, risking his life, proclaiming to sinners that the Son of God has shed his blood and died to save them from their sins. This was his message. I go back to the Corinthians because he's preached a lot, Christ crucified, to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15:3, he said, But I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's the cross. And then 1 Corinthians 2:2, Brother Derek read, Darrell read it this morning. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So what you have here is a former blaspheming, persecuting Pharisee who had been washed in Christ's blood. And he could not hold his peace and shut his mouth about the cross. Let me ask you this today. How much did he talk about the cross? I'm not talking about the piece of wood. Because see, if you talk about the piece of wood, it doesn't mean anything you talk about the cross. You know. But what I'm saying is, how much do you talk about the one that was on that cross? The one that gave his life up on the cross. I believe a lot of Christians are really unhappy and discontent because they completely forget about the cross. When I say the cross, I'm talking about the work that Christ did on their behalf on the cross. You know, I hear the cry today over and over again, justice, justice, justice. God got justice at the cross.
Right.
You know, and you know what people want with justice is that they want you to do something to people that they think did something to them. Well, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. I want him to get justice for me on the cross at Calvary.
Amen.
Not only is justice at the cross, but mercy is at the cross.
Amen.
And if you look at the cross, you can see Christ all through it. And how could you not love the work that the Son of God did for us?
Amen.
The Apostle Paul could never weary telling people about Christ and him crucified. And this was the whole secret to the life of the Apostle Paul. This is what made him willing and strong in his labor. This is what made him sacrifice so much. Because when he sacrificed all these things, he did it all that he might see sinners saved. This is what made him so long-suffering and patient. So his secret was simply Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was the meat and drink of his soul. Guess what else about the Apostle Paul? He's saying in Scripture, this is what his life was all about. I'm going to say this later, this today. But you know what? This is what this church is all about. Jesus Christ and him crucified. There would not be a church today if he hadn't went to that cross. That's what it's all about. But Paul says this. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He's just saying that my life is completely consumed with Jesus Christ and him crucified. And this is what made him great, his love for a crucified Savior that died for him. He has no letters that he wrote to the churches that would be of any help if he didn't have a crucified Savior to write about. And he's in all the books that the Apostle Paul writes. And you take away the cross of Christ from the Word of God, and this becomes a dark, hopeless book. You will see as you read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation of John, it all boils down to Christ and him crucified. You say, give me a summation of Scripture. Christ. To me it is. Christ. You know, when you open the book of Genesis, God starts out with Christ. Genesis 3:15, he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he will bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. As you read through the Old and the New Testament, you will see that the centerpiece is Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
You know, it actually shines out, even though it's veiled in some of the Old Testament books and things. The law of Moses, the history of the Jews in the Old Testament, it's all there. When you see the daily sacrifice, the Passover lamb, the continual shedding of blood in the tabernacle and the temple, they were all emblems and types of Christ crucified. People will say, I don't read the Old Testament because it's too hard and it's not about Christ. I just need to read about Christ. Let me give you some help this morning. Read the book of Hebrews.
Amen.
Because it will explain to you what they're talking about in the Old Testament. Now, I'm not preaching down to you because I didn't know it either. But anyway, when you read the book of Hebrews, you'll get a better understanding of what the Old Testament is talking about concerning Christ, because it's full of it. The writer of Hebrews gives a great treatise of all these types and shadows in the book of Hebrews, and all those slaughtered bulls and goats. And he says they could never take away sin. And that's because they all pointed to Christ, the crucified, who will come in the world and take away the sins of mankind. So, the Bible not only opens with Christ crucified, it closes with exalting the Lamb that was slain. His crucifixion is honored in John's version of heaven before the book of Revelation closes. And I want you to listen to the boast in heaven. See, people think in heaven they got a harp and their own clouds. You know all the crazy stuff that you always see. Let me tell you something. In heaven, they're boasting about Christ. And their boast is simply praise for the Son of God. You know, I don't know everything about heaven or everything that's going on there, but I know one thing. They remember Christ and him crucified. And I know one thing. They know that they are in heaven because Christ and him crucified. They know that's why they are in heaven. Revelation 5:6, John said, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And then Revelation 5:9, we see the praise and the boasting going on in heaven. They say, you are worthy to take the scroll and open the seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation. And said that you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Well, I don't know nothing better that you can think about but Christ and him crucified. If you want to know what's going on in heaven, read John's revelation of what he has of what's going on in heaven. They're talking about the Lamb of God that was slain from before the foundation of the world. I still believe that the message of the gospel will save this world. I still believe God's got sinners that need to be saved. I get fired up because I hear all this crazy stuff going on in the world and everything. And so sometimes you say, man, it's hopeless. I just give up. I mean, people are so crazy anymore, but they're not too crazy to be saved by the gospel.
Amen.
And I have to keep reminding myself of that. And one reason I preach this today, because it needs to be focused on Christ and him crucified. And that's the message that the church takes to the world. And that's the message that is going to get sinners saved. I don't care what kind of condition they're in. It will save sinners. Well, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, as we close down this morning, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. And what Paul is saying is, because of the sacrificial death of Christ upon the cross, and because I participate in that as well as all the elect in the world, this has made him dead to the world. It says made him dead to the world and the world dead to him. And what Paul is saying is he's died to everything outside of Christ in which man seeks to put his trust and his glory in. I'll tell you what the cross does. It makes the things of this world grow strangely dim. It makes things of this world pale in comparison to what Christ had done on that cross. Because of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, he says the world also has died to Paul. And he says this world basically has lost all significance. It's lost all attraction for him. Now, I want to apply this morning. Our message to this lost world that is rapidly headed for judgment is Jesus Christ and him crucified.
That's right.
If you abandon this message, there's absolutely no hope for sinners. Only by his completed sacrificial work on that bloody cross will you ever be forgiven of your sins and made righteous before God. I'm going to tell you, if you don't have this message, you got a weak message. If you don't have this message, you really don't have nothing that will deliver anybody. And it's weak. And I think a lot of the message of the church today, and I'm talking about the church as a whole, I think it's weak because Christ is not headed up in the message. You know, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, not you and your plans and your organizations and your buildings and your churches and all this, you know, stuff. He said, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me, not you and your opinions and all these things that men want to do to try to get people saved. You don't have to build a gymnasium to get people saved. You don't have to build a ball field to get people saved. This stuff is not rocket science. All you need to do is preach Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
And that's why Paul loved it. Because Paul knew that the results were great. Paul knew that there were great results because there's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I didn't say everybody would be saved, but if you want to see the Spirit of God work and move mightily, preach the Son of God dying on that cross at Calvary. So if you're here today and you're lost and outside of Christ, and you're unconverted and you're living in sin, I guarantee you, you have your boast in somebody or something or your own self. And you might be nice and moral and decent and respectable. You've been homeschooled. You know, you've been in our church for years, which means nothing. But I hope that's not your boast, because that's filthy rags before God. Your goodness cannot wash away your sins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that, brethren, is the heartbeat of the church. That is the only boast of the church, nothing else. Yes, we have to preach, and instruct and everything. And people get frustrated with it sometimes because we have to preach these subjects and instruct and things like that. But our hope in this church is in a crucified Savior. And the reason why we're teaching you the Christian life is because we serve a crucified Savior and we want to please him and live the way he wants us to do in this world. It's very necessary. But if you're a sinner today, your only hope to escape a fiery sinner's hell is faith in a crucified Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're a believer here today, I won't put you on the spot. What do you talk about all the time? Now, I would be guilty in this. What is your boast? Because one of the definitions of boasting is you talk about it all the time. You pay attention to it all the time. It's usually about ourselves or something we've done. Well, keep Christ crucified ever before your mind and your eyes. People want comfort and release and relief in trials and tribulations. Go to the cross. Look at what Christ has done. I told people, and I tell them again and again when I preach, The reason why that I'm not totally afraid to die, I said totally because you don't know what's on the other side, is because the Son of God went to Calvary and died for my sins. And I want that stamped on my heart so when my day comes, I'm ready to go. You know, I don't want to look at my good works. I don't want to look at how great I've been. I don't want to look at my preaching. I don't want to look at anything but the Son of God crucified. If you're a Christian here today, you're not a new creature because of what you have done. You're a new creature because of what He has done. And He did it on the cross at Calvary. I want to read the scripture as we close down this morning that Darrell read, 1 Corinthians 1:31. As it is written, "He that glories, let him glory in the Lord." We have a glorious Savior.
Amen.
He shed His blood so that wretches like us may enter the kingdom of God. Benisa and I was listening to a Christian radio station the other day, and they were playing Amazing Grace. Well, to make it light on people, they didn't sing to save a wretch like me. They sang to save a soul like me. I said, no. Wretch like me. You see what I'm saying? Because they're trying to light it up. No, Christ died for wretches. They're souls, but they're wretches. Because it shows you the importance of the death of the Savior and how pitiful we are, except He went to that bloody cross. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning that blood has been shed. And Father, that You have redeemed us with the price of the life of Your Son. Father, our desire here today is that we'd always be a church that boasts in the death of our Savior. And Father, we thank You that He's risen from the dead and He's seated at Your right hand, making intercession for Your people throughout this world. Father, our hope is in nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness.
Amen.
We ask it in His name. Amen.
Amen.